This is Dr. Charles Parker, and you're listening to Core Brain Journal. It's the place where I connect both fresh discoveries and interesting different perspectives from advanced mind science with the realities of real people and everyday life down on Main Street. Well, welcome, folks. Here we are one more time, Dr. Charles Parker at Core Brain Journal, and we have an interesting person here today who is going to help us resolve clutter in our minds. And she's going to do it in an interesting way because she's going to go through our physical universe to go right into our heads. Allison Caro, welcome. Thanks for coming.
Oh, thank you, Dr. Parker. I'm so excited to be here.
So Allison is a person who is an expert in declutter, if you can imagine that. And of course, it has so many implications. And so what's interesting about her, just to give you a little background before we get started, is that she is a speaker, a writer, a decluttering expert. And she has really spent a lot of time looking at how to actually organize the process of getting organized and how does one really do that. And she's from Brooklyn, New York. She's, as I said, a speaker, a writer. She's been all over the place in the media. She's been on the Oz Show, CBS Morning Show, Mike Huckabee Show, New York Times, CNN, and she's been around. She's been talking about this. Why is she so successful with this? Because people know that we all have problems in this regard, and getting some measure of declutter is really what many of us need to do. So Allison, tell us a little bit about yourself personally and how this all came about for you.
Okay, well, as you said, I live in Brooklyn now, but I grew up in Vermont. And, you know, when I was a kid, I was not an organized person whatsoever. I was the person who had stuff everywhere in their room right up until around the time I graduated from college. And then I decided that I wanted a more adult way of dealing with things. But again, I really wasn't paying too much attention to it until about 12 years ago, I started my own business. And one of the things that I started doing was organizing other people. But it really wasn't until about last year when I really understood what all that clutter was really truly doing to people, even if they didn't have a lot of clutter in their homes. And the reason I figured this out was because 2 years ago, I got really sick, and it pretty much left me housebound for a really long time. So I had a lot of time on my hands, not a lot of energy, but a lot of time to sit there and think. And so one of the things I did for myself, I love a good purge. It makes me feel better. And so I decided that I was going to go through my home, and even though I didn't have a lot of clothes left because I had lost some weight, I thought, I'm really just going to get rid of the things that I don't get excited about, that don't look great on me, and the ones that I keep looking at and going, well, but I can't figure out a reason to wear this. And I got rid of probably about half my wardrobe, and it left me with barely anything. But what I realized in the weeks to come was that, wait a second, every time I opened my closet or my drawers, I was really excited about what I was seeing. And when I put the clothing on, I felt better. And I was like, wow, this is really different. And I had never experienced that before. And I did it with literally every single object in my home. I went through every single thing, and I got rid of anything that no longer held any meaning to me in the person who I was now. And I even went through all my e-stuff. And as I kept doing it, that's when I started realizing, wait, you know, there's about five different aspects that I'm using in this process. And not only was the clutter going physically away from me, but then I started realizing that the mental and emotional clutter that I had in my life was finally showing up visibly to me so that I could see it and pay attention to it. And I was using the same techniques and methods to get rid of that emotional and mental clutter. And then as that started to go, it started to get to the core of the spiritual clutter. And what I mean by spiritual clutter is when you're not living your life in alignment with your morals and your values. And it could be something slight that you're not living in the way that you really feel really, truly should be living. And once all that clutter started to go, I really started to be able to live a life that I was proud to be living and gave me freedom, gave me energy, was saving me time, saving me money. I made better decisions. It just kept opening up and opening up. And I just realized, wow, all of this clutter is really detrimental to everyone's life, whether you have a little bit of clutter in your life or you have a lot of bit of clutter in your life. And I wanted to share that experience and this system with anyone who was willing to listen and wanted to make a change in their life.
Well, by the way, folks, Allison's going to have a PDF download. It's going to be at corebrainjournal.com/036download. And it's going to be a PDF on decluttering. Thank you very much for that, Allison. So let's go back a little bit and get our little magnifying glass out a little bit. Were you actually trained originally in some kind of interpersonal work before you started all this, or were you a coach? How did you become a coach? What happened there?
No, I mean, I had been working in finance before I realized that that was not my calling in life, and I really wanted to become an entrepreneur and be in control of my life, and I was offering concierge services, and an organizer came up to me and said, you should probably do this. It would probably be beneficial for your business. And as I got into it and started doing it, I was like, wow, I have an intrinsic knowledge of what needs to be done and why, and often I could understand the emotions behind why somebody didn't want to let go of things. And then really a lot of it was just self-training of, you know, going to seminars, reading books, online webinars, and I just kept self-educating myself as I love to do, because I think your education never ends. And a lot of it too is just being aware and noticing the changes in other people or why they get stuck, and finding a new way to deliver the same information to them so that they finally see it for themselves and can take actionable steps.
So how do you actually do that with a client? What happens if someone were to consult with you and they begin by identifying the problem? What's your working process, Allison?
Well, if you're working one-on-one with me, I have a 10-week sessions, which you start tackling your clothing first, and then you move on to another thing, and then you move on to another. So you're really going through your entire home, and then you're going through your office, and you are going through the same steps so that you can learn how to create systems, you learn how to identify the systems, you're also learning how you can eliminate the items, because a lot of times people just don't know where to put stuff that they don't want any longer. And so it's really identifying the common things that tend to get people stuck, taking them through each part of their home one by one at a pace that they can do themselves, and then teaching them this process, because the more that you do it over and over and over again, it becomes second nature. It becomes your way of how you make decisions for yourself, and you can use these same tools not only to declutter your home, but to make decisions in your life for your business, for your friends, for your activities. It's really, you can use the system for anything, and that's really what I've been doing, and it helps me whenever I'm going through a tough time, because it helps keep me on track and feel like I'm in control of what's going on, even when I really probably have control over 1% of it.
Well, you know, it sounds so much like you're actually developing for the individual, with the individual, a sense of internal self-esteem. And go ahead. Please.
Yes, exactly. Because I want you to start choosing yourself for the first time. When you start making decisions for your best and highest good, when you start making small self-love based decisions, and that's actually step number 3 of the 5 steps to organizing, is making small self-love based decisions. What you see is you start choosing for yourself better. You start taking care of yourself. You start loving yourself in a better way. And that enables you to have more time and more energy to give more to the people who are around you. Because when you are so spent by giving everything away to everybody else, you don't have anything to really give your 100% fullest to them or to yourself. So I wanted to devise a way so that people at the end of the day, by giving back to themselves, would be able to give to everyone a much better version of who they are, and to be able to give even more than they can give now.
Sounds like something that needs to be introduced at about the sixth grade.
Yes, or earlier, because these five steps help you to make good decisions for your life so that you stay on a path and you keep going. And even if things start coming into your path to try and get you off of it, this helps you stay on that and continue to make small self-love decisions to get you to your end goal.
Well, let me ask you this question, which takes us off a little bit, but I'm sure it's going to tie up in some way. Your first book in 2011 was How to Fail at Business. Interesting topic.
Yeah, I've learned a lot. I have failed almost every single solitary way in which you can possibly fail. Now, I could have either taken it one of two ways. I could have thought, well, God, I am not amounting to anything. I'm a huge loser. Nobody likes me, and I'm going to give up on life. And that great could have happened when I received my diagnosis and my doctor said, well, go on disability because that's the rest of your life. And on the train ride home, I thought to myself, you know what? This is the best gift I've ever been given. And I actually said it's a prayer of thanks to God because I knew that this was a gift that was going to get me to the person I've always wanted to be. And so rather than going, oh, well, all of these things means I'm a failure, it just meant, okay, I have learned so much by making these mistakes. And now I know what not to do and where I don't want to go. And, you know, and I found, okay, well, these are the things that were getting into my way and helping me make bad decisions in the past. And now I have a tool set that I can use that helps me make better decisions for myself. And that's actually, it's a self-love decision making.
Well, in your business, failure sounds like, from what you're saying, a limitation within on the decision-making process in terms of setting priorities that were suitable for you as a person.
Right, exactly. And that's step number one, is setting your priorities. Because once you know what your true priority is, and you stick to it, it's a lot easier for you to, when an opportunity comes, for you to recognize, yes, this is part of that priority, or no, it's not. But if you don't understand what that is, and you're also living with a lot of fear, guilt, and shame in your life, and that's a lot of what clutter is, it's shame, guilt, and fear, then you make decisions based on fear rather than self-love. And that's what will screw you up every single time, is when you make a decision based on fear, shame, or guilt.
So a second book that you're currently writing, obviously we don't want to give it away, but what's the, as I've seen in talking to authors, they start one place and they evolve into yet another place that isn't far from the first place, but it's an improvement on. So what's this, I'm just curious, what's this second book about?
I'm still in the process of trying to figure that part out, but I think it's probably what I've learned from all of, you know, from everything that I've gone through, and just a continuation of, despite these sometimes crazy things that have happened to me in my lifetime, I have found a way to learn from them, find the humor in the situation and the gratitude, and move forward in my life. Because you can have the worst thing happen to you, but you know what the nice part about it is? It's only for now. It doesn't mean it's a life sentence. It's only for now. So even if you can take a breath for 10 seconds, you get yourself through that moment.
Well, that is so true. Now, let's take a moment to switch topics for a little bit and go into perhaps a moment with a client that you recall where a person came in with one set of baggage and then consulted with you, and share with our audience a little bit about that transformational process, if you will.
Yeah, there was one client where she came in, and I think she was in her early 70s, and what had happened was she had been paying for storage space for 12 years. I don't even think they'd ever gone into the storage space. They had just filled it up, moved into New York, and that's the last time they did anything with it. And during that time, her husband had gotten sick and then he passed. So all of a sudden, she has to deal with a lifetime of baggage coming into her home. And she has to make those decisions without her husband, her life partner, which is very, very difficult. And then to top that off, her two kids really didn't want anything to do with the process. And so for her, it was really learning to let go of the past, and to move into a new future for herself, so that, you know, it wasn't, okay, you're 70 years old, but that doesn't mean your life is over. You still could have 20, 30 good years in you if you choose to and you take care of yourself. So let's start planning for that new future. And so together we decided, you know, what are the items that are going to work with keeping in her house now? And how do we best let go of the other items? What's the best way for you to joyfully and you know, thoroughly let go? Because sometimes the letting, actually all the time, it's the letting go that makes that process so difficult. They've gotten such an emotional attachment to an item, and it can be any item. I've seen some interesting items with some emotional attachment to it. But the what you're really doing in a session is you're helping that person see that same item in a new light, so that they can prepare themselves emotionally to allow that to go and to see the possibilities versus the endings and the stuckness.
So how do you actually do that? Are you or do you actually visit with them, or do you do it over the phone, or how does that actually take place?
I used to visit, but because of my illness, that's made it very, very difficult. And also, I can't reach a wider audience. So now I do phone or Skype, and they can share photos, or we can be on Skype and seeing one another. And what it is there's a plan that they're going to follow, and we're going to have a discussion about what's keeping them stuck, what's getting in their way. And if, you know, I have photos that they've sent to me, so I can help them set it up and give them a plan, a step-by-step plan, so that they know the steps that they need to take. They can keep referring to it, and it's an ongoing process of, you know, it's time to let this go. I want to know who you are now, because at the bottom of all your clutter is the real you, and that's the great part. Is all you have to do is dig yourself out from underneath it. And so as you go through this process, and it's a little bit harder in the beginning because there is all that fear and that trepidation and that, oh my God, I'm losing something, you know, but you're not. You're really gaining so much more. You're gaining more energy. You're gaining the, you know, the ability to find things much more quickly. You're losing the frustration, the anger, you know, your mental health goes up because you're walking into a space that you actually like to see versus walking into a space where all you see are the next 10 things that you have to do. So it's really about taking one step at a time to slowly transform your life so that you have a better handle on what you want to see in your life and how to get there.
Well, you know, your energy is fantastic, girl. So it's interesting to me that in your bio here, and both, you know, and you mentioned it just a moment ago in conversation, that you have an illness. You don't sound like you have an illness. You know,
Well, thank you. I'm having one of my better days. 2 years ago, I was diagnosed with a autoimmune disease called chronic fatigue, which is the worst name for a disease ever because it just makes it sound like you're slightly tired, and it goes above and way beyond. And I was, for almost 2 years, pretty much primarily stuck in bed. This year, because I followed this plan, it actually has allowed me to find a boatload more energy and to follow this path than I ever even had hopes for or dreamt of even a year ago. That's why I want to share this process, because even if you are sick, this can actually help you to get rid of other stuff so that you have more energy.
So it's interesting, even if a person with chronic fatigue can do this, then the average person without chronic fatigue should be able to have some kind of intervention process work, because here you are loaded with energy and you got chronic fatigue, but you're still getting it done. It's a long distance high five to you.
Well, thank you. It's been a heck of a battle, but I've really learned a lot about my body and what it needs. And I think when you get rid of the clutter, that's when you have the silence available to find out what you really need and want in your life. And then you can do that for yourself.
So the real issue, it seems, is defining, I mean, one of the real issues, but I'm just listening to it and thinking about what you're saying. It's redefining what trash is.
Yeah, I mean, it really is. You have to find out what's truly valuable to you. Now, that could be a seashell, or it could be, you know, a million-dollar trumpet, but it has to have meaning to you now, and positive meaning, not, oh, my ex-boyfriend who dumped me in the most horrible way gave me this 10 years ago and I can't get rid of it. I want it to be, this makes me happy and joyful and content when I have this in my life.
That's a very interesting qualification.
Yeah.
Because that solves right there, that little piece right there solves a lot for a lot of people. That was very, very interesting. Because that is definitely a part of the sorting process for you.
Yeah, and people complicate it because at first they go, well, I haven't worn that in 2 years, but I spent so much money on it. You know, I'll have to find a way to be able to use it. Why? Because they feel guilty or ashamed that they spent a lot of money on something that they haven't worn. And so they keep it almost to make themselves feel better. But all that is shame and guilt sitting in your closet as an awful reminder every time you open it up. But once you let it go and you either sell it or you donate it or you do whatever you want to with it, that guilt and that shame is out of your home for good. And then it helps you make better decisions when you're going and shopping. So when I go shopping now, I really have to be so excited about buying something or it's just not worth it to me anymore. Once you get rid of the clutter and you see what it can be like, a lot of times you don't want to go back because it's just not worth it to you anymore. It takes up so much time and energy.
So you're really cleaning house in not only a physical way, and I know I'm repeating myself somewhat here, but you're cleaning house in an emotional way. You're taking the past and pain and difficulties that people have experienced and putting them back out of your life or in the closet, whatever, but not in the closet because you don't even want them in the closet anymore. I thought the interesting thing that we were talking about was getting rid of the negativity and really having a clear internal assessment of what was positive for you versus what was negative, and not really keeping the negative as a means of coping with past tragedy. I mean, that's kind of what it is.
Yeah, that's exactly what it is. It's past, you know, errors or mistakes that you're accumulating in your own home. And so actually what I love about this process is I teach that you should start with the physical stuff because that's the tangible stuff. That's the easy stuff. You know, you see, a pile of clothes, you can see that there's a problem. You can pick it up and you can sort one by one. And when you do that and you pick up that sweater and you go, do I really like this? And you're looking at it and you give yourself a few minutes to check in with yourself, that helps you build up your intuition so that you really know beyond a shadow of a doubt as you do this again and again and again, yes, this is something that I'm getting an internal yes with, or no, I'm really not. And the more that you check in with yourself like that, the better luck you're going to have with everything, because you know, you really know when you're using your intuition what is right for you and what isn't right for you. And that's what leads you to the path of achieving your goals, because you're choosing for yourself and you're listening to yourself. And when you start with the tangible stuff, that allows you to build up that skill. So then when a business opportunity comes your way, that internal guidance system will have been so built up that you're going to know right off the bat what the right decision is for you. And decision making, that's actually number two, you really need to be able to make effective decisions, because that's what empowers you. That's how your life shows up better, when you start making better, smarter choices for yourself.
Now, do you have those? I don't want to put you on the spot here because I know that it's probably in your material, but do you have those five items in your mind right now, or do you think that we should just refer to them when we get to the PDF?
No, and they are in the PDF, but it's setting boundaries, or I'm sorry, setting priorities. So once you know what your priorities are, it's easier to navigate. Then you need to establish and stick to your boundaries, because that's really going to be your, this is too much, that's okay. You know, once you really start establishing boundaries for yourself, that acts as a navigation system. Taking small self-love based decisions, one small decision at a time. You cannot get to the other side of the room by flying across it. You have to take one step after the other. When you do that with your decision making and it doesn't, you don't see the big picture, you just go, what is the next small self-love based decision I can make for myself next? That's how you get yourself unstuck and moving forward. The other thing is identifying and setting up systems. So if you're noticing, hey, every day that I come home, I put my keys wherever I feel like, and then the next day I spend 20 minutes looking for those same exact keys. That's the same. same thing I keep doing over and over again. Am I enjoying myself? No. So maybe if I put a hook on a wall or a bowl nearby and I say, I'm going to set up a system where I put those keys right there, and you do that every day, all of a sudden you've started setting up a system that makes your life easier. And it also, it saves yourself time, and you're also not going to be frustrated and angry at yourself for losing your keys yet again. And then the last thing is emotional awareness, because again, once you build up that intuition, that internal guidance system that wants the best for you, and you ignore the ego that usually gets in your way and wants to keep you stuck, that's when things start moving for you and you start making that effective decision making for yourself.
So that intuition part, and we'll wind down with this because I think it's a very nice way to close it, but the intuition sounds like you've really evolved from looking at the past and really being clear about the past to moving straightforward, carefully into the future with intuition. And ego itself is still a little bit part of the past because it takes some internal self-confidence to move forward into the future.
Oh, yeah, definitely. And the more that you listen to your ego that says, well, you deserve to be punished because you bought that really fancy dress and you only wore it once, that's not going to help you get anywhere. That's just going to make you feel worse. But if you use your intuition and you switch it to go, it was a great dress. I felt great when I bought it. I felt great when I wore it. But I'm not feeling good about it now, and I'm going to let it go so that another great dress can come into my life. Well, then all of a sudden you've started things moving, and think about the next person who gets to wear that beautiful dress.
Love the way you're thinking, girl. So this is really helpful. Allison Caro, tell us where our audience can come in contact with you. We'll have it in the show notes, but let's you tell us why, for those who are just on the audio side.
The best place to see or to get all my information is to visit my website, and that's ackorganizing.com.
ACK. I wonder where that came from.
Yeah.
Well, thank you so much. It's really been interesting. You know, so much of what you're talking about is really valuable executive function. You're really getting that prefrontal cortex zooming along, dealing with reality as it comes to you, instead of exercising denial and dancing around the things that that really don't matter.
Right. Exactly.
So thank you very much, Allison. We'll talk again soon.
Thank you so much, Dr. Parker. I had a great time.
Me too. Have a good one. Thanks for listening to CoreBrain Journal. We're working every day behind the scenes to bring you reports that connect research benches with those street trenches. Here we share the complexity of mind science because, as you know, details really do matter. One of the most pervasive, misunderstood challenges is how commonplace medications, like those written for ADHD, are used so regularly without clear guidelines. If you think you'd like more specifics, take a minute to download my 2-page PDF packed with video links and references on the absolute essentials of how to start ADHD medications. They're easily available at corebrainjournal.com/start. Thanks for listening. Do connect and stay tuned. Together we can make a difference.